Thank you, choir and orchestra. We've come a long ways from our roots as Americans. So one of my goals this morning is to do a little bit of education. And you know, it's probably more going to be a history lesson, so nobody go to sleep, please. And I don't know about you, but I was bothered about doing that. I prefer someone taking a passage of Scripture and explaining what that Scripture means as God has shared with them. Expository sermon, and not really a topical sermon, but today I ask your forgiveness because it will be a topical sermon. And it bothered me so much to do this that I dug my heels in and said, Lord, I don't want to do it. 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in staff meeting, and I said, oh, I know what I'm going to preach on. Last Sunday night on my knees in my office, God said, that's not what you're going to preach on. And I said, oh, but Lord, it's my sermon. He said, oh, but Mike, it's my pulpit. And so today, I'm going to share with you just my opinion with the Lord's guidance of our founding fathers and the sacrifices and things that were done to provide us with the freedom to be here worshiping freely today. Sadly, our school systems and colleges and universities have become so secularized, so distanced from religion, that huge chunks of information about the spiritual roots of our nation are being left out of education. And unless you hear it from Christians, unless you hear it from the church, then where are you going to hear it? Today's passage of Scripture is very simple. Again, it's not the one I wanted to use, but it's the one God directed me to. And it's found in the book of Psalms, chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. Or in the American Standard Version, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. I'm going to ask that you indulge me for a minute, and I know you've settled in and got all nested down where you are and don't want to get up again, but I'm going to ask if you will join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
seated. Father, I don't take this privilege lightly. I do ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to You and no one else. Thank You again for this privilege. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are a blessed nation. Because only in America can you order pizza and get it quicker than you can get an ambulance. Believe me. Only in America are there handicapped parking places in front of the roller skating rink. That just doesn't make sense, but only in America do you go in the restaurant and order two double cheeseburgers, a large order of fries, and a Diet Coke? Something just doesn't compute there. Only in America do the drug stores make the sick people walk all the way to the back to get their prescriptions filled, while the healthy people can buy cigarettes up front. That just doesn't make sense. Only in America, and I know this won't relate to any of y'all, do we leave our vehicles worth thousands of dollars out in the driveway when we put our junk in the garage. Hello? Anybody? No, nobody. Okay. What a great nation we live in today. And what a privilege it is to live in America. And to celebrate and recognize the birth of our nation now some 234 years ago. But you know, it wasn't easy. On July 2nd, 1776, the process was started for the 56 men that would sign the Declaration of Independence. My research shows that on July 4th, only two actually signed it. It took several days after that to get all the signatures. This document declares America's freedom from the oppressive rule of Mother England. And freedom has been the battle cry of America ever since. The 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were some of the greatest men in the country has ever known. They understood two important things. Our rights come from our Creator. And these rights can't be taken away by man because they come from our Creator. You know, there's an attack on that first statement that I just made, that our rights come from our Creator. There are those today in government that would want us to believe that those rights that we have come from the government, not from our Creator. People are so much trying to revise and undermine the character and integrity of our founding fathers, saying they weren't who we know and what I believe they were. You know, I know they weren't perfect men, but I don't know anybody in this sanctuary today that's perfect either. These men paid a price for signing the Declaration of Independence. They had far more to lose than they ever had to gain. Understand that it wasn't until the end of the Revolutionary War, after the war had been fought and the treaty had been signed in 1783, that America actually received her independence, her freedom from England. Of those 56 men, all but two had families. All were educated and of good standing in their communities. They knew what security was. They knew what prosperity was. But they felt that something was more important than security: freedom. They knew that by simply putting their name on that piece of paper, they could be hanged for treason. Yet, they all signed. Here's a few examples of what they went through. Five were captured and tortured by the British before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons in the war. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the signers of our Declaration of Independence died from wounds fought during the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader, and he saw his ship swept away by the British Navy. He had to sell his home to pay off his debts, and he died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family constantly. He served in Congress without pay, believe that or not. Can you imagine? And he died a very poor man. Thomas Nelson's home was seized by the British at the Battle of Yorktown and was used by the British as a command post. Nelson went to General Washington himself and said, "Open fire on it." His home was totally destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. Liberty has always exacted a price. That's what the 4th of July is all about. It's about remembering. Remembering the past, and of course the present, and the future. Oh, folks, we've come a long way from our roots as Americans. Let's think for a minute the role that the Christian church and its pastors played in America's early days. A preacher named Francis Bellamy wrote our Pledge of Allegiance. Another preacher, Samuel Smith, wrote the hymn, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. John Leland, another preacher, wrote the introduction of the First Amendment of the Constitution. Prior to the war between the states, 90% of America's college presidents were preachers of the gospel. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth, William and Mary, and Columbia were all founded by Christian preachers and had church affiliations with the expressed intent to educate the youth for Christ. I don't think any of those colleges stand for that today. You know, there was something that our president said. He said, we are not a Christian nation, at least not just. For once, I agree. We are no longer a Christian nation. If being a Christian nation means that everyone is a Christian, then we're not a Christian nation. We are a very diverse nation. There's Muslims, there's Jews, there are Buddhists, Wiccans, spiritualists, of course the Catholics and Protestants, and we do have atheists. But the fact is, the vast majority of Americans, some surveys say up to 75%, still identify themselves as Christians. And our nation was built upon Christian ideals and biblical purposes and principles. However, if it means that Christianity was the religion of the overwhelming majority of our founding fathers, and if its influence is undeniably seen in our nation's founding documents, and the Christian ethics and moral codes were accepted as the social rule for order, then yes, yes, we are a Christian nation. It's our Christian heritage that is slowly slipping away. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. His inheritance. The Pledge of Allegiance declares without apology that America is one nation under God. Oh, but how far have we come? The Speaker of the House rose in a recent session of Congress and stated that no politician or government representative should take a public stand on a religious matter of any kind. Oh, if the Speaker would have simply turned around and looked at that large plaque that said, In God We Trust. People, we need to remember when we look at the flag of the United States of America, those red bars, those red stripes are bars of blood. A price paid for you and me to be free. And when people today burn the flag in ignorant demonstrations, it's not freedom of speech. It's high treason. It's high treason to the land of the free and the home of the brave, and should be prosecuted as such. And I don't apologize for that. Praise God that many times in the history of America, people have stood up and stood for God and changed the course of destiny. At the first Constitutional Convention in 1782, the delegates were frustrated due to the burdens of the hour. They were so fragmented that they were just about to throw in the towel and forget the whole concept of the Constitution completely. But just then, an old white-haired man by the name of Benjamin Franklin rose to his feet and said, "Gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek His face." Envision this. They promptly, the Constitutional Convention, promptly all went to their knees and asked God what should be done. John Adams, in the letter he wrote to his wife Abigail about the meeting, said, "The most amazing thing occurred. Even the stern old Quakers had tears gushing down their cheeks." Can you imagine what it would be like today if Congress would get down on their knees and ask God to do, to ask Him, "What do you want us to do with your nation?" I can tell you a revival would surely come to our shores. Blessed is the nation whose God is the people He chose for His inheritance. I believe God birthed America, and God has blessed America. Here are some ways that He blessed and birthed America. The Puritans' first act at Plymouth Rock was to kneel, praise, and dedicate the new colony. Plymouth Charter says the colony was established to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. William Penn, in writing government policies for Pennsylvania, made sure all treasurers, judges, and all elected officials professed faith in Christ. 12 of the original 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments into their civil and criminal codes. President George Washington said, and I quote, "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible." In 1782, the U.S. Congress enacted a law that allowed the printing of America's first English Bible. And they voted in favor of a resolution recommending and approving the Bible for use in the schools. The Gideons can't even distribute Bibles in the schools in Coweta County anymore. They went on to vote not only to endorse the Bible, but to purchase the Bibles and supply them. The opening page of this new Bible says that the American Congress recommends this Bible to the inhabitants of the United States of America. One of the revolutionary leaders, Patrick Henry, said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Patrick Henry also wrote in his last will and testament, "I have now given everything I own to my children. There is one more thing I wish I could give them, and that is Christ. Because if they have everything I gave them and don't have Christ, they have nothing." The more we learn about how America began with openly Christian men, it becomes completely impossible for me to believe what has been spoken and taught today, that the American government should be completely secular and religion-free. Our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to ensure that this nation was began based on the principles of the Bible and of a strong faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know, you don't know, how many Christians were involved, how many of our founding fathers were true Christians. I don't know how many of you sitting here today are Christians. But what I do know for sure is there were men who had a fear of the Lord, and God used them to lay a firm foundation for this country. On August 27, 1776, General George Washington's army of 8,000 men found itself trapped at the water's edge on the East River near Brooklyn, New York. 20,000 experienced British troops were poised to attack. But for some reason, they delayed their attack. Possibly, some historians say, they were waiting for the British fleet to sail down the river and close the trap for the American soldiers. But suddenly, rains came, and a strong northeast wind arose, preventing the fleet from sailing. When night fell, Washington began to evacuate his army across the mile-wide river in small boats, a few men at a time, trying to save as many men as he could. As morning approached, he knew that these small boats would become easy targets for the British artillery. But just as the sun arose, an unusually dense fog visibility dropped to no more than 6 yards. The fog remained in place until the very last boat, carrying Washington himself, set across the river. Then it suddenly lifted, and the British were stunned to see all the soldiers gone, the shore empty. Of course, they fired guns at Washington in his boat, but they were out of range by that time. Not a man of the Continental Army was lost. Of course, there's going to be people that say, oh, they caught a lucky break. After all, there's no proof that God had anything to do with these sudden rains and unusual winds and this unusually dense fog. But you know, many of the American soldiers kept diaries of that event, and almost all of them attributed the coincidental happenings to the intervention and protection of God. But you know, even more recently, Operation Iraqi Freedom, we lost so few soldiers, and I can only think of one reason why, and that is that God still answers the prayers of the people of this land when we prayed for the safety of our troops. You know, I heard on the news a sad statistic, and that was that in the month of June, 59 soldiers lost their life in Afghanistan, the highest casualty for any time we've been there. But you know what's even more sad about America than that? In the last 24 hours, we've had 59 people killed, murdered in America. Don't take our freedom for granted. We've not all paid the same price. Freedom is not free. Just ask a parent who's lost a child in war. Just ask a child who's lost a parent. Just ask a soldier that's lost an arm or a leg or a life-altering injury. Freedom is not free. We are blessed with so many freedoms in America. Freedom to drive our own cars, and freedom to work wherever we can find a job, and freedom to come and go as we please, and freedom to shop, and freedom to buy things, and freedom to worship, and I could go on and on. And I thank God for that freedom, because I know for a fact that freedom doesn't exist in all countries. We are so blessed. But it saddens me, though, to say that our nation is still steadily moving away from the Lord. Have you watched the news lately? Have you picked up a newspaper lately? Have you listened to radio talk shows lately? Here's a few examples. God's been kicked out of most public institutions. Abortion is available on demand. Euthanasia and the legalizing of drugs are gaining support. Pornography is more acceptable and available than ever. And the last statistic that I could find was in 1 year, Americans spent over $8 billion in hardcore pornography. There are now more outlets for pornography in America than there are McDonald's restaurants. And I don't know if you've read the front page of the Noonan paper, but guess what's coming to a Noonan? Not long ago, a U.S. District Court ruled that the cadets at West Point could no longer be made to go to chapel. Oh, but the FBI even paints a grimmer picture. A murder happens in America every 24 minutes. There's a forcible rape in America every 7 minutes. A robbery every 68 seconds. An aggravated assault every 51 seconds. And there's some sort of violent crime every 27 seconds. All this means that there's a major crime committed in America every 3 seconds. And since I've been up here, statistically saying there's been over 400 major crimes in America. Oh, but we shouldn't be shocked over this. We really shouldn't. We shouldn't be shocked to seeing the way our country's going. Henry Blackaby wrote in Fresh Encounter, "Christians should not be surprised by the spiritual darkness around us." That is all it can be. Darkness is dark. The greater problem is not with the darkness. The problem is with the light. When light shines, it dispels darkness. We're facing a growing spiritual darkness in our land because the light is not shining brightly. And the light he's referring to is the church of today. We know that America's not perfect, but I hope you believe that it's the greatest nation on earth. And one of the reasons it's the greatest nation on earth is because our forefathers acknowledged God and their dependence on Him. And we must not lose sight of that heritage that they have entrusted to us. Today, on the 4th of July, 2010, as I said earlier, our country celebrates 234 years. But this July 4th, instead of just fireworks and burgers in the backyard, we all need to be at the altar of God, asking for a personal revival in our own lives. We need a revival with such strength that it will sweep our community and our nation. But we don't need religion. Religion is not the answer. I remember on one of our early trips to Romania, I spoke to an employee of one of the airlines, and I said, she asked me what we were doing there. I told her. She said, "Oh, we don't need you here. We already have a religion." I hope you don't have a religion. I hope you have a relationship with a risen Lord and Savior who's in this world today. But even in Jesus' day, there was problems and many issues. And one day in the midst of a Jewish holiday, among the crowds in the street, Jesus rose and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And today, people, there is no other way. Individually, for our nation, but to turn to Him. When the people outside the church see God working in us, that will draw them to Him. And when people are drawn to Christ and converted, that will be when we'll see a change in our nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Do you believe we are still a blessed nation? Do you believe that God can withdraw that blessing from our nation? The Bible says, "How blessed is the one whose hope is in the Lord his God." Before our nation can find that hope, you and I need to have that hope. And each of you, if you don't have it, have that opportunity today. Jesus is calling. Jesus is Lord of all, lest we not forget that. This can be your day of liberation. Your day of admitting your dependence on Jesus and giving Him your life. Join me in prayer, please. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray, Lord, that even in this history lesson, we saw and heard you high and lifted up. I thank you for our founding fathers that had the courage, even, Lord, with the knowledge that they could be hung, to stand up for what they believed in. I thank you, Lord, that we can have that same courage to stand up for the Jesus we believe in, for you. I pray for souls that don't know you. I pray for those that have turned from you. And I pray for those, Lord, that need a place of service. May today be the day, because you don't promise us tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.